Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Everybody, welcome to King of the Hill podcast. I'm Mike.
And I am Rusty.
Rusty, season 5, episode 12. Now, who's the dummy?
Yeah, this is a ventriloquist heavy episode. If you like ventriloquism, to me, it's one of the lowest forms of entertainment.
Really?
Yeah. I actually appreciate juggling. Okay, sorry, I'll take it back. Ventriloquism, I appreciate the talent.
Sure.
But to me, it's kind of creepy after a certain, you know, like kids doing ventriloquism early, but like seeing a 60-year-old man with his hand up a puppet's ass.
To me, it's always been the people that are willing to put in the time for ventriloquism are a little odd.
Yeah, they are.
And so
Jeff Dunham's kind of
go
quirky.
A little far.
He's the most popular one I could think of in the modern era.
Jeff Dunham actually went to Baylor here in town.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he went to Baylor. I knew he was a big car guy because I watch Jay Leno's car show on YouTube. So I know he's a big car guy.
Yeah, he went to Baylor, and I saw him over at the, what do you call it? Not the convention center. What's the big one? Fair and Rodeo place.
Heart of Texas Fair.
Yeah,
and Rodeo,
the Coliseum. Yeah. Saw him over there one time as he came through.
It's got a new
good
name
show
or something, don't it?
But I don't know. Extraco Events Center.
Yeah, maybe. That's what it is.
Yeah, and then the base next to it.
The base.
All right, so this one, we start off no bell, no yell. We're in the Hill House. All four guys are in there. It's very rare that you see all four guys sitting around Hank's TV.
Yeah, yeah, you don't see that very often.
So they're all sitting around watching golf. In the living room, you hear the announcer, now Vijay Singh with a testy 12-foot putt. And then, of course, Dale, not understanding that you're supposed to be quiet during golf and be okay to the people around you, he says, putter, 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 swing. Bobby comes in. He goes, man, Dad, guess who's the star of the Nursing Home Follies? And Hank says, quiet, Bobby, we're watching the Masters. That's a golf tournament. He goes. I know. It's the one with the fabulous green jackets. And he's just like, shit.
This is actually a Johnny Hardwick episode. This is one that he personally wrote.
Oh, this is cool. The TV announcer, Ken, you can cut the tension with a knife. And then you hear from the other room, Bobby singing, a froggy went a-courting and he did right, A froggy went a-courting and he did right,
I actually have a little bit of information on that.
All those guys just look at each other like, can you shut your kid up?
From Artie. So we got our first Artie fact.
Yeah.
Frog went a-courting is actually an English folk song. It first appears in 1549 in Wedderburn's it's in Scotch.
Okay.
Scottish.
In
so
Scotland?
In Scotch. Whatever the language is, it's not a language I understand.
Gaelic.
But it says, Weedburn's compliant of Scotland, whatever that means, under the name the Frog Come to Mildur, though this is in Scots rather than English. The song has been heard by many people as Froggy went according in the 1953 Tom and Jerry cartoon Pecos Pete. And then some refer to this song as Crambone, as it is repeated at the end of many lines. Froggy went in a courtin', he did ride Crambone. Crambone. Froggy went a courtin', he okay. did ride Crambone.
All right.
There you go. Thanks Crambone. For that, Artie. I would have never have known that one.
I don't know what a Crambone is.
Yeah.
Next, we see a flash to the Garrity and Sons nursing home where Bobby is performing on stage. Back behind him, it says Garrity and Sons Nursing Home welcomes Tom Landry Middle School. And Bobby, of course, is out front in a suit, which you don't often
see. Yeah, he's
see,
suited up.
Unless
yeah.
he's at church. And then there's a bunch of kids that are like his backup singers or something. They do hand movements and stuff. But he's in there going, a froggy went according to him, he did with sword and pistol by his side. And, I mean, he's really, really playing it up, you know. And at the end, he's like, oh, yeah. thank so you, instead Garrity of, and Sons Nursing Home.
So instead of the uh-huh part, it would be Crambone, Crambone.
Seems like it fits perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
So he has the big flourish, the crowd of the kids behind him kind of clapping and stuff. You look out in the audience and it's nothing but old people, you know, tons of wheelchairs and oxygen masks and stuff like that.
Nursing home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you would think a nursing home looks like.
Everybody gets up and leaves with the exception of one guy in a bright orange suit. And he looks like a huckster, like a guy that would sell you snake oil or whatever, you know, yeah, just by his suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks like the guy from Music Man. And so his name is Jerry. He goes, wonderful, I'm Jerry Popper. I was on The Tonight Show once. Can you spare a minute?
Bobby's like,
can I?
I got a whole nother
that
thing.
That is Tom
for that.
Poston.
Yeah, Tom Poston. So one for those of you who don't know, Tom Poston has appeared in more sitcoms than any other actor. His most known roles are Mork and Mindy.
Okay.
And Bob Newhart.
It wasn't Bob Newhart.
It was called Newhart.
Just Newhart. Yeah.
Newhart, yeah.
He was the handyman there at the inn.
And I also got another.
And he was great.
Reference that Artie got here. So Mr. Popper says he was on The Tonight Show. He probably meant tonight, which was in 1953. It was Steve Allen. In reference to the fact that Tom Poston was on the show.
Yeah.
And then there was also really four really famous ventriloquists that he names too here. Paul Winchell. Never mm-hmm. heard of him myself.
Well, Winchell. Paul Winchell's the one that had the little, he had the dummy, but it had like a top hat and a monocle and
kind of like what you would think
penguin,
when you think
penguin
of
outfit. Kind of like a penguin suit.
Kind of like what you would think of when you think of a ventriloquist
yeah,
dummy.
I think it was Charlie, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. The dummy had a name, and I had one of them when I was a kid.
And then the other three are Edgar Bergen, Jay Johnson,
Edgar Burgess,
and then Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham. Yeah,
we all know who Jeff Dunham is.
We do.
Jalapeno on a stick.
I kill you.
I kill you. Yeah, that might be one of his funnier ones.
Tom Poston, big history in comedy. He goes way, way back to like the vaudeville days, and he was on tons of TV.
Yeah.
But he hung around with that. He was kind of always around that laugh-in crowd, you know, Smothers Brothers and folks like that.
Yeah.
And then when he was on Newhart, I mean, he was way older. But that's how I always remember Tom Poston as being the handyman on Newhart. Okay. So this guy stands up. Wonderful. I'm Jerry Popper. I was on The Tonight Show once. Can you spare a minute? Bobby's like, can I? Popper takes him to his room, which already creepy, by the way.
Yeah.
He goes, kid, I'll get right to the point. I hate living here, but watching you up on that stage, lighting the place up for a moment, it made me forget the nurse stole my watch. And you get like a huge pause. And he goes, you got something, kid. Bobby, of course, using terms that only 80-year-olds use, says, moxie, chutzpah, pizzazz?
He might have heard that from his step-grandpa, yeah.
Mr. Popper, no penguins, by the way. No, this is not the same Mr. Popper.
No penguins.
He goes, you're selling yourself short. And he pulls out a case. It's got the dummy in it. The dummy looks like a traditional, like, big man on campus. Like, he's got the buzz cut, you know, the Letterman sweater, all that stuff.
Kind of like I call it the Drew Carey.
Yeah, it does. Haircut, it looks like the old Drew Carey.
Drew Carey's haircut.
Mm-hmm. He gets this doll, or he gets the dummy. Excuse me, not a doll. Gets the dummy out of the case and goes, "This is Chip Block, All American, and the original. Not one of those plastic Woolworths copies that allowed me to retire in such comfort. Right, Chip? And, I mean, he's being sarcastic because he's in a freaking nursing
home. Yeah.
But, and so here comes Chip. Hey, Slugger, that was my brother's name. They made him into a baseball bat. He was from Louisville. I mean, you know.
Louisville.
Solid baseball joke.
I don't want to make anybody mad.
Louisville.
It's Louisville.
Louisville.
You ever heard of pronounce it?
No,
people from
I understand.
There,
I know it's
they're
Louisville.
Like, they call it Louisville. Louisville. It didn't even sound like, it's supposed to be like a few syllables. They just kind of make it Louisville.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby says, hey, that dummy's got good timing. Who you calling dummy, dummy? Settle down, Chip. Chip doesn't like to be called dummy. This is Mr. Popper talking.
Yeah.
He prefers the term carved figure crafted by Mastermans of Wisconsin.
I didn't know there was anything masterful in Wisconsin except for alcoholics.
Cheese.
Oh, cheese.
Mastered cheese.
They mastered cheese and brewing beer.
And then the he goes, Portuguese cork. Bobby's like, oh, Portuguese cork. That's funny.
I watched a documentary.
It is
kind of
funny, though.
Cork.
I mean, just the... just the term Portuguese cork.
I watched a documentary on cork.
Oh yeah,
it was kind of weird how they harvest it. So the trees take 20 years to be able to, like, because what they do is they strip bark,
mm-hmm.
and they don't hurt the tree itself. They just strip the bark off of it, and then that's it for a year or two for that tree till the bark grows back. But they have to do it super, super carefully.
The bark's made out of, the cork's made out of bark?
Yeah, cork is like from the cork tree is what it is. And it's in that like Portugal, Mediterranean Portugal kind of that latitude or whatever. And longitude, sorry. And what they do is they have to do it real carefully, and it's just like people who have been doing it for 100 years. You know, their families have done it. They do it, and they have to use hand tools. There's no automated process. Yeah, there's no automated process in the – because there's a lot of
– not in the cork game.
A lot of automated harvesting going on in the world. And this one, they can't. They have to do it all by hand as to not hurt the actual tree, because the tree has to survive them stripping the bark off of it.
Sure.
So they have to do it, like, real delicately and stuff. So
it's like if they stripped your skin off, you'd have a tough time.
Yeah, you'd have a tough time growing back. For sure.
He goes, Portuguese cork, that's funny. Mr. Popper says, yep, but real ventriloquism is about more than telling jokes. It takes great acting, Bobby. Oscar caliber to play two roles at once. Nobody could do it today. Except Meryl Streep. Streep would be a great ventriloquist. And so would you. I want you to have him. And he hands Chip to Bobby, which, I mean, it's a big deal for this old guy, right?
Because
this was like his thing for years and years.
That's
and years.
His thing for sure, yeah.
Bobby says, I'm going to win the talent show this year, not that banjo-playing dork. And he starts sticking his hand into the back of the puppet, and Mr. Popper says, whoa, kid, can't just put your hand inside his body. You got to get inside his head. Who is Chip Block? I'll tell you. He's the best athlete to ever attend All-America High. Every boy wants to be his pal. Every girl wants to be his gal. But I'm sorry, ladies, he's saving it for marriage. Bobby says, an athlete? I may look big, but very little of it is muscle. Popper says, Chip, I know. Chip and I know you can do it, Bobby. And he's trying to drink water while he's talking, but it's just all falling out. Boys, Bobby, the show must go on. Bobby says, you say that too? All right, I'm in. Like, that's it's like something he just made up. He goes, thanks, Mr. Popper. They leave, and as they're walking out, or Bobby leaves out the door, and Mr. Popper's still in his room. He goes, promise me you'll take care of him. None of that lemon-scented crap. Linseed oil. He just... Chip just pokes his head back in and goes, I promise. He says, not you, Chip. And then he said, I was talking to, Bobby, bravo. Like, he really enjoyed the fact that Bobby did that. Now we're at the Hill House at night. We're in bed again with Hank and Peggy. Peggy's using Us magazine, or she's reading Us magazine. She says, Hank, what is it about models that rock stars find so attractive? I don't know.
I wonder what it is, Peggy.
And you hear Bobby from the other room, fluttering butterflies, fluttering butterflies, fluttering butterflies. Hank finally hears this, rolls over and says, fluttering butterflies, not in his house. He gets up and goes to Bobby's, not in this house. He opens Bobby's door. You see Bobby reading a book called Ventriloquism by Jerry Popper and Chip Block. And there's a picture on the front of the cover of the magazine. It's very old looking pic, you know, black and white.
Yeah.
So it's back from Popper's early days. He comes in his room. Fluttering butterflies gracefully flied the skies in Pacific Grove. Filled the skies. The fluttering butterflies gracefully filled the... And then Hank comes in. Oh, God. He sees the puppet and Bobby. This is like his nightmare. Yeah,
it's a nightmare. Anytime Bobby's doing something that's not holding a ball, which I think that would be... more homoerotic than holding a puppet, holding balls all day, but, you know.
He says, Dad, this is Chip Block. We're practicing our labials. I don't know what a labial is.
Okay, so I had to look it up so we could get to the root of it.
Yeah.
As many of us adults know, labia is... it means lips.
Welcome to our sex positive podcast. Yeah.
So it means lips. So labial, there's certain consonants. So when he talks about labial sounds, there's P and B, P, B.
P.
It goes
P.
to your lips. P, B, V.
Yeah.
F.
Plosives.
They call them labiodental. So V and F, because you use your top teeth, go over your bottom lip when you do V or F.
V.
Your bottom teeth.
V.
Yeah, your bottom
you
teeth do
it
come down.
That.
Yeah,
V.
That's called labiodental. So it uses your lips and your teeth. So there's for speech therapists when they're teaching speech, those are the labial means lips.
Hmm.
So women have what you would call vaginal labia.
Yeah,
and then if it's just labial, it's just your mouth.
Right,
it's just your lips. Your lips. So yeah.
Thanks again for coming to the Bois TED Talk.
Yeah, I had to clarify the labial here. You know, he's not talking about his pussy.
He goes, we're practicing our labials. Hank immediately turns the light off and goes, lights out by 8:30.
He don't want to discuss that word. That's what I'm saying. Hank heard labial and that's all he heard. He's like, yeah, we're out.
Any of that. There's a ventriloquist, Bobby, and he heard the word labial.
Yep.
All right, now all four in the alley the next day. Hank chugs a beer, throws it in the trash can, and goes, another. Bill, of all people, looks at him and says, don't you think you've had enough? He goes, another. Yes, sir. Hands him another bill. And man,
just
he
washing
just
them
chugs
down.
That sucker
washing
and then
down,
throws
yeah.
it away. He looks down at the ground and kind of looks at his guys and says, my son is playing with dolls. There, I said it. Then you get Dale. He's a sissy. There, I said that. Just any chance to be an ass.
You can't. I don't even think sissy is a politically correct term these days.
No, I don't think
it?
You can. Unless it's your sister and it's a very small little kid saying it.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're in the kitchen. Bobby's in there with his dummy practicing. He goes, Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa. So he's trying those. I don't know what you call those. Those little sayings that like
Sammy
get your.
Sammy Sosa. That's the labials.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty much what they are. Yeah,
but I mean, like when a newscaster, you know, is about
phonetics.
To go on. Yeah,
that's doing like phonetics.
That shit.
Yeah, it's to help with it's to help with active articulation.
Once again, very big word. All right, so Peggy comes in and she goes, "That's a ventriloquist dummy. The way people were talking, I thought you were playing with a Barbie doll." Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah, that would be disgusting.
Bobby says, Mom, meet
Chip. Well, to Hank anyway. That would be disgusting
to
Hank.
Yeah. Mom, meet Chip Block. All American. Chip, this is my mom.
I'll do a tell-all real fast about my experience with Barbie dolls. So when I was a kid, my favorite movie of all time, from the ages of probably like 1 to, you know, I still watch it now and you know, the nostalgia of it, I enjoy, The Little Mermaid. I liked the songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And it came out in 1989. And I was born in 1990, so it was the movie that my older sister kind of liked, so I kind of watched it a lot.
Yeah.
And I had asked or bugged for, you know, one of my first toys that I remember having, because you always remember, first toy that you can have, like, a vivid memory of, and mine was a Little Mermaid Barbie doll is the first toy that I can remember, because... I had it was like the licensed official one that came out at that time or whatever, a Little Mermaid Barbie doll. So there's the tell-all Barbie. They do find that kids, boys that play with dolls end up with
labials.
Labials. Now they're more empathetic. They have more empathy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I had basically what were dolls. I mean, they were those big action figure things, you know.
Those are basically funny. Science fiction dolls.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny how they'll call it an action figure for a boy and a doll for a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing I never understood about like the whole weird masculinity thing about kids playing with dolls is holding a G.I. Joe. And I mean that's a doll.
Yeah.
That's a
dog. Oh, yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
Or we got a Bobby Wasabi in the chat on Instagram.
Bobby Wasabi.
Said, he said he had troll. The troll action figures.
Yeah.
So everybody has
an
experience.
Did you spin them and
it?
Their hair flips up? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
All right. So he introduces Chip to his mom. Chip, this is my mom. And then, of course, Chip, I didn't know you had a sister. And Peggy, of course, is very flattered by this. So thank you. Pleased to meet you, Chip. I mean, she's just, you know. Then they just kind of stare at each other awkwardly. Bobby goes, yeah, that's really all the material we have. Just to greet his mother. That's it.
That's funny.
He goes, the problem is Chip likes the sports pages, but I'm more of an arts and leisure guy. I don't even know how to read a box score. Peggy says, then a league-leading softball pitcher will be the one to teach you. I have never seen this thing before,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I haven't either. And
ever.
Then I'm going to go ahead and let you read the well, actually, let me go ahead and knock this out.
Yeah, go
so
for
he's
it.
Got a fact, a little fact for us. So when she goes to show, well, it's not a fact. When she goes to show Bobby, it's again back to the like geography of the
yeah.
the Arlen world.
Yeah, so, I've got a question about this as well.
Yeah, so it says Hill upsets Belton,
right?
By Peggy Hill. She
yeah.
wrote the story about herself and has
yeah.
it framed or whatever. It's like a framed sports story
yeah.
that she's showing Bobby. That again puts it in the Central Texas area, so it's got to be again in between Dallas and Austin, wherever Arlen lies, because you don't drive that far. For the farthest you're going to drive for a football game in Texas, even when they redistrict them every 3 years, whatever
yeah.
it is,
yeah.
the farthest you're going to drive is like 2 hours.
Sure.
So from Dallas to Austin is like what, 3.5 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
So
yeah.
they've got to be in that scope, in that circle between Dallas, Austin, kind of line. Area
so here's
thing.
My question. She takes a framed newspaper clipping off the wall
yeah.
to show to Bobby to teach him how to read a box score, which is not really a box score necessarily.
Yeah.
It's a framed newspaper photo of her named Peggy Hill beating Belton by Peggy Hill.
By Peggy Hill.
So
she wrote that after.
She had to read it after she got married.
We got married.
So. It
it's even shitty hashtag shittier.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
like
even
the high school guy at the bar saying, "You remember when we were, you know, champions?"
Yeah, I mean, she would
and
have
she
to
wrote
write
that
this
out
later yeah.
in her life. She's in her like late 20s, Bobby on her hip, and she's in here writing this article about her baseball match.
That's crazy.
I got a sports fact too. After you,
yeah,
read
go
the,
for it.
After
go
you read
it.
This, the sports stuff here. So.
she says, "Let me get the sports page." She pulls that thing down off the wall. It says, "Hill upsets Belton by Peggy Hill." I just wrote the word how next to it.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, now an ERA, as you see here, is my earn run average, which is very, very good. Bobby says, what does HBP mean? She goes, hit by a pitch. She was crowding the plate. She just automatically.
I'll keep going off on tangents. Did you
yeah.
see the new baseball thing they have? Banana mm-hmm. baseball?
So
I watched Roger Clemens throw a ball, and he's like 62. He was out there pitching.
It's a Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
They are like a Harlem Globetrotter version of baseball.
Is this new?
I think it's
– It has to be inaugural.
I don't think it's super old, but I think it's been around for a few years.
Okay.
It's like AAA, again, like I say, Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. So
it sounded really fun.
It was a guy
I
here.
Listened to the rules. There was like a video on Twitter, and it was
yeah.
just like all the 9 rules that they have, and it was just like, man, they should do that in real baseball. I would actually watch it.
There was a guy here who had a local sports show named Drake Toll.
Yeah, Drake Toll.
And we used to do some of their shows for him and stuff.
Yeah.
And he actually is now their announcer. So, like, he
oh,
moved
wow.
from there to the Savannah Bananas. To
is that
do
recent?
Announcing. Yeah, yeah, probably in the last 3 months, 2 months.
Yeah, I was fixing to say
like
because his, we just had his co-host
yeah.
on here
well,
recently.
Well, Cam is
we
still doing
Cam.
Stuff here in town.
Yeah.
But Drake took off. He's Savannah Banana in it.
Yeah, I would too.
And
I'm sure the checks look
honestly,
nice.
It's perfect for him. He's
a funny guy.
He's a weirdo anyway. And so
yeah, he's
he
a funny
just,
guy.
He plays it out, and he's very good at it.
I have a buddy who is a rabid Baylor
yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
And that's how I even knew that Drake existed was
sure.
through this rabid Baylor fan. And I'd listened to his podcast a few times, and
yeah.
I could care infinitely less.
Yeah.
I could not care any less than I care about Baylor sports, but he was just funny, so I was able
yeah.
to listen to it
because yeah.
he was really, really funny.
No, he did a great job, and he still does. In comes Dale into the kitchen while they're going back and forth. He says, Hank said I could get some cereal. He comes in. Peggy is still talking to Bobby. I'll never forget this. In this game, I had a no-hitter. If you adjust between actually errors, jealous. And so Dale looks over, sees Chip. They lock eyes, yeah. Which is weird. Dale starts getting super scared, and he runs the hell out of there.
Yeah, he sprints out of there.
He freaks out. Scutters out fast is what I put down.
Scutters out fast.
Now we see Bobby playing with the he's watching baseball, and he's got his dummy on his lap in his room. And Chip says, "Who was the last pitcher to win 30 games?" Bobby says, "Danny McLean, Detroit Tigers, 1968. That's day one stuff, Chip. Give me a hard one."
And that's where my sports fact comes
in.
Okay, so in 1968, Danny McLean became the last – this is an already fact. In 1968, Danny McLean became the last Major League Baseball pitcher to win 30 or more games in a season. He also won the Cy Young Award and the MVP Awards in 1968 pitching for the Tigers. His off-field activities as a player and his post-retirement involvements in a string of felonies have long cast shadows over him and his career. He is the original Flim Flam Man. This is his former teammate, Jim Northrup. He was the original Flim Flam Man. Any day I expect him to come riding on a Conestoga wagon selling elixir out of the back end as he's leaving town.
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah, probably getting run out of town, but that's Denny. In 1970, he was suspended on bookmaking charges. In the mid-80s, he spent 27 months in prison after convictions of federal racketeering charges involving gambling and cocaine.
Yeah.
A decade later, he was back in prison for looting a company's pension fund. He was scheduled for release in 2004. It's kind of funny, though, because there's federal tax forms. For those of you who are criminals, make sure you fill out your taxes. If you've stolen anything, you have to report it on your taxes and the value of the items you stole. If you sell drugs, you have to report all money that you earned selling drugs. There's actual legitimate IRS forms for this.
Right.
Because one of the big things they get drug dealers and criminals
on
is they get them on tax fraud.
Yeah. The dummy says, okay, wise guy, how many years did he get for pension fraud? So that goes right to your story. Bobby says, you got me, unless it was eight. He said, you're the man. I mean, he's
so
having an
go.
Actual
he did eight
conversation
years
with
fraud.
Him now. All right, next thing we see on the TV, we hear the announcer, but all four guys are in the living room watching baseball. All of them have baseball hats on, which is weird to see, with the exception of Boomhauer. Of course, he never messes with his hair.
Yeah, never.
You hear the TV announcer, and the ball is going, it's foul ball. In comes Bobby and Chip. Hank says, Bobby, maybe you and your action figure want to go clean your room.
Your action figure.
Chip says, could you please blow smoke the other way, Mr. Gribble? I'm training for the varsity squad. So Dale's – and it's weird because Dale is inside smoking in Hank's house.
Well –
which I thought was awfully odd.
I think it's odd, but I remember at one point in life, any house I went into
–
you could smoke in and nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like, even if you went into a house where people just didn't smoke, like, they just, oh, yeah, you're all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't understand.
That was the one thing when I started smoking cigarettes. I always told myself, oh, I'm never going to smoke in the house. Of course,
of course you say that. Yeah.
But when I was living at my parents', they smoked in the house, so I could smoke in the house there. And then the next place I moved into, everybody could smoke there.
I was fancy. I smoked in the garage.
I would rather smoke outside. Like, once I got once I hit about 24, the group of roommates I had, everybody agreed, let's smoke outside. So,
I just, it's gross, really, dude.
Now it's even to the point where, even though I smoked heavily for a long time, I can't even stand the smell of a cigarette. There's still a couple of bars that still allow smoking around in rural areas that I've been in, and I just can't be in it for longer than 10 minutes.
I think they smell worse than they ever did. And maybe that's because I don't smoke them anymore. But, like, I was smoking three packs a day for 15, 18 years, something like that, you know. And now they just smell different. I don't know what it is.
They smell
so chemically and weird.
Yeah, it's all
And boy, does it cling to people.
They put in so much more stuff than they used to, I think. I think they've added chemicals.
People in this building, they'll go down front and smoke out in front of the building, and then they'll get in the elevators, and that elevator stinks all day long.
It's just
rough, man. Anyway, Dale locks eyes with the dummy again. Freaks out, runs off. And, of course, Bill's like, I got Dale's spot. They don't even say anything about it. Hank says, what's with Dale? Then Chip says, he's like an L.A. fan, leaving in the seventh inning. Which, you know, Hank is starting to come around on this Chip guy because he knows sports.
Yeah.
Hank says, boy, this new manager sure is methodical. Chip says, yeah, people criticize him for playing little ball, but I say a W is a W any way you get it. He goes, come on, my grandmother hits like that. God, I hate infield singles. So Hank is talking at the TV, you know. And then Chip says, put your tie and run on first, Mr. Hill. Gotta like that. And Hank's like, yeah, that's true, Bobby. And Chip Block. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Hill. He goes, Bill says, how do you do that, Bobby? Hank says, Hank looking kind of proud, by the way. He goes, he's using show business.
Like, what is show business? Yeah, he's using show business. it's a noun, that's for sure, not an adjective. Yeah.
Chip starts talking about what the pitcher's going to be looking for on TV. The batter's going to be looking for a fastball. We hear something happen on TV. Everybody cheers. They all, all right. And you hear the announcer, base hit. Then from Boomhauer, the only thing he says is in this entire thing, dang old Palmeiro, man. So Palmeiro used to play for the Rangers.
Oh, he was a Rangers.
Yeah, it was a guy named
pitcher
that played for the Rangers. No, I think he was a outfielder, second baseman, something like that.
Yeah.
So
as one sport that I really don't have the capacity to watch.
I've tried
over the years to kind of get into baseball, but I can't. That's the one sport really that I just can't watch.
I used to watch baseball all the time. Always watch the Astros, even when they started in the American League, now in the National League. Or no, I'm sorry. They started in the National League, now they're in the American League. Which I think is weird that the Rangers and the Astros are both in the American League. I think one ought to be in one ought to be in the other, kind of like football,
so.
You know?
Yeah, I think so.
NFC, AFC. But
because they split the Texans and the Cowboys up.
Well, they always used to. They also used to be. I mean, even the Oilers, they were AFC.
Yeah.
So I used to watch a lot of it. Fell off, then got back into it. Took a trip to Vegas one year, and the World Series, it was the first one, I think, that the Astros were in.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, you're in a casino. You can bet on everything.
Bet on anything and everything.
So I bet some money on the Astros and ended up winning. So I started watching baseball again, you know. I mean, that'll do it to you. So now
I recently just got back into watching NASCAR.
Yeah,
I watched it as a kid because it was at that. It was the big like surge of NASCAR in the 90s.
Dick Trickle.
It got huge in the 90s. Dick Trickle and Harry Gantt and Dale Earnhardt and all that. I started watching it in the late 90s.
Larry Labia.
I started watching it in the late 90s and then just stopped watching it and just started recently watching it again.
Well, for me, baseball at this point is something I can put on in the background while I'm doing something else.
Yeah.
You know? It's such a slow-moving game, which they've worked on it and brought it up to speed a little bit.
Well, if they played it like the Savannah Bananas play, I would watch it every week.
But like I'm saying, they have a pitch clock and things like that now that are trying to speed up the game a little bit. And I think they sped up the average game by about 20 minutes this last year.
Yeah,
so I figure that it's going to keep going that way and get a little shorter and shorter. I think if you could get it down to a two-hour game, a lot more people would watch it.
It's easier to watch live.
3 hours.
And then we've got Chantel, she's in the chat, and she said that baseball is boring to watch but fun to play.
So it is.
It's fun to be involved in.
Well, baseball, you know,
can't watch it.
I think it's a little more action, but it's kind of like golf to me. You put it on the background, you just kind of got something on the TV.
I don't know. I think golf's got more action than baseball.
I have a tough time
because there's like 20, 30 people, you know, they're moving the camera around. You're going to this guy, that guy, this guy.
Thanks.
I don't know.
I'm good. Yeah, I tried golf a few times. I just can't do
NASCAR's it. NASCAR's pretty fun, though. I'm glad.
I've never tried NASCAR. Like, I've never.
The only reason why I started watching it this season, because this is the season I've gotten back into it, is just at the beginning in February.
Yeah.
Frankie Muniz is racing, the Malcolm in the Middle actor, is racing in the Xfinity Series, which, for those that don't know, Xfinity Series is like the B-League. It's like the JV, you know, NASCAR's where young guys kind of start out, or rookies, or people that don't know what they're doing. And
assuming
it's
that's
fun
where
to
Jake
watch
Paul
him.
Will drive.
Yeah, if Jake Paul
after he gets over being crippled.
I don't think he'll be able to speak after this.
God, I hope not.
Getting in the ring with Mike Tyson, even at 57, is nuts, even for somebody who's trained.
I was told, what was it, yesterday, I think? Oh, I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to, but they were saying that there's all these different riders for Jake Paul. Like, he gets to wear headgear and all this kind
of
crap.
Oh, I didn't know any of that.
Freaking stupid.
Yeah, it's just an exhibition.
I mean, if you want to fight Tyson, then fight Tyson.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I didn't know all that. I knew the one stipulation for Mike Tyson was is he told him that the only way I'll do this is if we're breaking box office records.
Yeah.
He said if we're breaking pay-per-view records, I'll come do it. Otherwise, there's no point for him. Yeah.
I don't know why Tyson would do it, honestly. It's got to be a huge payday.
Huge. Massive payday, I'm sure.
So the TV announcer, you know, apparently Palmeiro hit it. He got a base hit. The TV announcer, Palmeiro got a fastball and really turned it around. Hank, of course, turns to the dummy and says, "You called it, Chip." Bill says, "Chip's a genius." Well, Bill, you know. Hank says, "Bobby, Chip, you get Dale's spot." He says, "Bill, like, get out of the way, Bill."
Yeah, get out of the way, Bill.
Bill goes, "I couldn't handle the pressure anyway." And then Chip is looking at the TV. He goes, could be. It's a round tripper. He's going to tag all the bases. All right. Everybody just cheers and cheers. And Hank says, "I love this guy." That's when it starts with Bobby.
Yep.
Like, Bobby looks at him. He's like, "Oh, well, you know, it's me." So now we see Dale on the rooftop of a house nearby.
Yep.
He's in camouflage for some reason. You're on a roof, Dale. And he's got a camera. He's zooming in on Chip here because he's going to take Chip out.
You know, and it's funny. This episode reminds me of a Trailer Park Boy episode. There's a character on that show called Bubbles who had
with the big glasses.
A puppet when he was a kid called Conky.
Mm.
And Conky has this sinister about him, though, that Chip really doesn't have. But he's kind of got, like, he takes over Bubbles' like, Bubbles kind of like becomes Conky kind of thing, and he's like evil and stuff, though. He's way more malicious. He's like an antagonist, you know, in the show, and they all hate him. And they're, you know, the other characters are trying to get rid of Conky, but it upsets Bubbles and stuff like that. So it's a whole, like, very similar to this kind of vibe that this episode has.
So he's peering in on this dummy with his camera, takes a few clicks and goes, "Enjoy your last few breaths, dummy," and then clicks a couple of times like, "Boom, I got him," kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the first commercial break. We'll take that, and we will be right back.
Pew.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcast or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
And we're back.
We are. Now, when we come back, we see another one of those big overview shots of Arlen, right? You know,
yeah, one of the big, whole, beautiful yeah, cinematography, beautiful cinemagraphic.
Yeah, and then we come into the Hill kitchen. We see Peggy cooking some eggs. Hank is reading the newspaper, so obviously it's morning. Bobby and Chip come into the kitchen. He goes, "You're looking lovely this morning as usual, Mrs. Hill." And Peggy, of course, thank you. I mean, she's so flattered yeah. by a freaking dummy. Bobby says
they all become enamored by the dummy. You know, they're the dummy
sure.
is now probably more revered in the house than Bobby Hill
That's
is.
His brother.
Yeah.
He goes, Bobby says, "I'll have cinnamon rolls, pancakes, 7-Up, bacon." 7-Up, he says.
7-Up.
"I'll have 7-Up and bacon for breakfast."
Yo.
The dummy says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 Bobby. If you're going to bulk it up, do it right. You want 5 raw eggs in a glass." Bobby says to the dummy, again, he's having these conversations now, "Raw eggs? Hadn't you heard of salmonella?" The dummy says, "Relax, kid. If I wanted to kill you, I'd challenge you to a push-up contest."
Whew.
And that makes Hank laugh.
Yeah,
like
gets
Hank's like,
Hank.
Yeah. The dummy says, "Eggs it is. Mr. Hill, could you pass the sports section, please?" And then Hank says, "Sure. You going to make fun of tennis there, Chip?" Chip says, "I think tennis does a pretty good job of making fun of itself." And then Hank's like, "Ain't that the truth?" So Hank is just the fact that
That's
his
funny.
Son, and he doesn't even think of it as his son, is watching baseball or keeping up with sports or anything. Boy, that is a big deal to Hank. All right, so the next thing we see, we hear this ominous music, you know, like real.
Yeah.
And we see Dale in his basement developing pictures. He's got it set up like a dark room,
yep.
right? And he picks up one of the pictures and he sees the dummy on it. And it causes a flashback in Dale's head.
Yeah, and again, I forgot this on the last episode.
Yeah.
The last episode was a birthday, Bill's birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can't use... Happy
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy birthday is
That's
a licensed song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you
it
ever
used to be owned by a couple of elderly sisters. And
I think that's like it just went to the next generation. I think like her it stayed in the family, the ownership of that song. But you can't use that song. So in this particular tune is Up on the Housetop is the tune they use, which was composed in 1864. So as we know about public domain, you know, it's
in the
domain.
Same one that, and the reason you're saying that is the same one that Bill was singing last episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is someone's got a birthday, I wonder who that thing,
up
right?
Up on the housetop.
But
this
flashback is very like Technicolor, like the colors are real intense and stuff, because it's almost like a trip that Dale is having in his head. What it reminds me of, you ever seen the Twilight Zone movie?
No. Okay. I've seen a lot of the Twilight Zone episodes.
The Twilight Zone movie, I think, is great.
Yeah.
There's one where this kid wishes for this cartoon character to come to life. It does, and then it starts, like, doing evil things and stuff,
yeah.
right? But there's this, like, extreme lighting, like red, green, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it makes it look like comic book lighting, kind of. Kind of like, there's one that you would know. I can't remember what it is. But, yeah, this is extreme, like, comic book lighting stuff. That's how I felt about his dream sequence here. It looked just crazy. You know, everybody's 10 feet tall, all that kind of stuff.
And this is where we also meet Bug for the first time.
Yes.
Which is his dad. And his dad is...
I thought it was Bud.
Bug. Nah, I think it's a typo or whatever.
Okay.
But Bug Gribble, and is actually voiced by David Herman in episode.
So. Okay. So he sees this thing. It takes him back in his head. It's at a birthday party. It's obviously Dale's birthday party. The kids are singing, "Somebody's Got a Birthday, I Wonder Who." Then you hear his mom's over on the player piano for some reason. She's over there. She's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. She's like, "Now let's see what Daddy got for you. Bud, get Dale his gift." Here comes his dad in with a present. He said, "Happy birthday, Squirt." Of course, he's got a cigarette in his mouth as well. He opens up the present, and it is one of those Chip knockoff dolls that Popper was talking about.
That's the Popper dolls.
And it freaked him out because everybody started laughing and screaming, and then it goes back to him in modern day, and he's screaming. So he's thought of this thing, and it's made him scream for real. And from
a real flashback, if you will.
That's right. And from the you get back to the normal stuff, he rips the picture in half, and then you hear Nancy from upstairs say, "Shug, you all right?" He goes, "Fine," and shasha, and then he rips that thing in half, right? Next, you see him out at the gun range, and he's taken that picture of Chip that he's ripped in half, and he's put it on the target.
Yep.
And then he hits it so that it goes way out there, you know, as you shoot at it or whatever. He shoots at the picture so many times that he needs two guns, right? He's out of bullets in both guns. He reels it in, and then you see Octavio standing next to him, done by
Mike Judge at this point.
No. No, it's done by what's his face?
Trejo's already
yeah,
doing it.
Yeah, it's
at
Trejo.
This point?
Okay. When I looked on IMDb, it said Trejo, and that's the only reason I know that because I looked this morning.
Yeah.
He says, "Octavio, I want you to do the exact same thing I did to this picture of this guy in person." He pulls the picture up and it has zero holes in it, so he didn't hit it once with two guns. He goes, "Except do it right here," and he points at his head. Octavio's like, "Okay, I'm gonna need $20 now and $20 when it's done. And another 20 for expenses." So for $60, as far as Octavio knows, this is a real guy, and he's willing to kill a guy for $60. All right, so now we're in the alley with all four of them. Hank says, "Tea time is 2 hours and 8 minutes. And then you hear Dale say, "So, in other words, you're going to be leaving the house." He goes, "Yes, Dale, we're all going golfing, remember? I can't go. I got plans." "Yeah, plans. I mean, nothing." And then he starts backing up. He backs right into Bobby holding Chip. And you hear Chip say, "Hello, Mr. Gribble. Nice to see you." And then he turns his head 180 degrees. That's 180, right? When
yeah.
It turns
yeah,
all the
yeah.
way around. 360 is twice, right? I always get that confused. Like, it is because it's 90 and 90. Yeah, okay, so 180.
Yeah, 180. Actually, Mike, I got to correct you. I hate to do it like
was
that.
Was it? It wasn't Trejo?
It wasn't Trejo at all.
So on
Octavio, it says here that Octavio
okay.
was only ever voiced by Mike Judge.
Oh, that's not true.
And
I know Danny Trejo did it.
Well, no, Danny Trejo was Enrique.
I swear to you, on IMDb for this episode, look it up. It's got Trejo as Octavio, and like I say, the only reason I know that is because I looked at it this morning. Now
yeah.
that could definitely be wrong.
Yeah, it is
because this one did sound off to
on
me.
On the Wikipedia for Danny Trejo,
yeah.
and then on the yeah. on the King of the Hill fan page, the fandom, the
yeah.
wiki for King of the Hill, it says he was the one who provided the voice for Enrique, the character. Octavio was based on Danny Trejo's look,
right?
But he never ever voiced him.
Huh.
That's crazy.
That
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I always thought he did, but
well, like I say, this one sounded a little weird. But then I saw Trejo in the credits, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, then it's Trejo. Now I'm not saying the credits of the episode. I'm saying the credits on IMDb, and that can definitely be wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so he says, "We're going golfing, remember?" He goes, "I can't go." He backs into the dummy. The dummy greets him, turns his head 180 degrees, said, "Nice to see you again." Dale screams and runs off again. And then Hank, just responding as Hank, he's just like, "We got a spot open for golfing today. How do you like to join our foursome?" Chip says, "No, thanks, Mr. Hill. I'm going to hang out here today and maybe run some wind sprints." What? Hank says, "Come on, Chip. I'll let you drive the cart. Maybe even fix you up with my 3 wood, which Hank thinks is hilarious.
Yeah.
He's going to fix him up with a piece of wood. All right. So now we see Bobby in his room reading that Harvey Penix book, Little Red Book. It's a golf book. And he's trying to catch up on golf before he goes. Hank comes into his room and says, "Bobby, Chip, let's go." And then both of them get into the truck with Hank. They drive off. Then we see Octavio over in the car watching him with binoculars. And he says, 11:15 a.m., the man and the boy and the puppet leave the house. The man and the boy and the puppet. That sounds like a wonderful movie title.
The man, the boy, and the puppet.
And then it moves over to Dale in the Bugabago. He's got binoculars on Octavio. And he says, 11:16, Octavio speaks into tape recorder, thus leaving crucial evidence. Stupid idiot. Octavio must be gotten rid of. And then he opens up his glove compartment. And you see a handgun in there. But
yeah.
he moves the handgun aside and just grabs a little pad of paper and starts writing on it. "Dear Octavio, this is the hardest letter I've ever had to write." So he's writing him like a Dear John letter.
Yeah.
All right, now we're on the golf course with Hank teeing off. Bobby and Chip are watching, and Bill's just kind of standing there watching also, propping himself up with a club. Bobby's just kind of humming, and Chip says, "Silence on the tee. Keep your left arm straight." Hank goes, "Yes." Like he knocks it. He hits it pretty good. He knocks it right close to the cup. He goes, "Yes." And Chip says, "Actually, Bobby told me about that one." And Hank says, "Chip, you modest son of a gun." The drink cart girl pulls up, which, what a job. Yeah. And Hank and Bill go over to the drink cart. He looks back at Bobby and Chip and says, "What do you have, Chip? A can of Thompson's Water Seal?" Again, very funny in Hank's head.
That's
very
it funny. Works for Hank for sure.
Now we're at the Army Navy Surplus with Dale, which seems like a place he would hang out a lot.
Yep.
He passes the survival gear and then finds a bandana. And he goes, he puts on the bandana on his head, and then he puts it around his mouth and starts going, "Hurt, hurt," like behind the bandana.
Yeah.
The guy walks up and goes, "Can I help you?" He goes, "Yes, I'd like to purchase some chloroform, a roll of duct tape, and this gagging banana bandana." Gagging banana.
Gagging banana, yeah.
Now
the
we're
Savannah gagging banana.
How do you can you go someplace and just go, "I'd like to purchase some rags and some chloroform"? I mean, I don't know that that's – are you allowed to buy that?
Well, you can make chloroform by mixing bleach and something else.
Yeah.
Like there's chlorine and something else that's like two household products. Yeah, probably.
All right, so we're back on the golf course. Hank is driving. He drives, and he goes, "Oh, dang, looks like a penalty stroke." And Chip in the cart says, "No, sir, that's a temporary water hazard. Free drop, no nearer to the hole, no penalty." Hank's like, "All right, how'd you learn so much about golf?" And then Bobby speaks as himself. He goes, "I've seen Happy Gilmore 50 times. Hank is really hard to get a clue.
Very hard to get a clue.
Because he responds to that with, "I hate Adam Sandler." And then Bobby, really having no choice, responds as Chip.
Oh, he was huge then, though, wasn't he? Adam Sandler was massive in that. At this time, you were all the movies, Big Daddy, Happy Gilmore, Waterboy, all those were out at this time by this point, because we're in, what, 2001 now?
Was Little Nicky out?
Yeah. Might have just came out. Yeah. It might have just came out around that time, I think.
Little Nicky was a good one.
That's one of my the pineapple in Hitler's ass. That's like one of my favorite like movie scenes. This stuff is so funny.
It says, "I hate Adam Sandler," and then Chip responds through Bobby again. Like I say, Bobby feels like he has no.
But isn't that crazy though that he says, "I hate Adam Sandler"?
Oh yeah.
And there's people in 2024 still writing articles about how Adam Sandler movies suck.
Well, Adam Sandler just put out that Spaceman movie where he's fighting a spider in
space.
But
he's worth $500 million.
Oh yeah,
because
he knows his audience.
His movies are wildly successful.
He's a brilliant guy.
No matter how corny
audience.
Or crap his movies might be,
well, I will
they're
tell
still
you,
wildly successful.
I went into that Netflix movie with him and Jennifer Aniston where they're married and they're spies or whatever.
Yeah.
They made two of them.
Oh, wow.
And I went into it thinking, "Oh, this is going to suck," because that's the way I approach Adam Sandler movies at this point. But it was actually pretty good.
You know why
second
it was good,
was
though?
Yeah.
It's because they have an actual working relationship outside
of
movies.
Yeah.
They're like good. They're really, really good friends.
You know what I've heard about Jennifer Aniston, though? I've read this several times. She used to be a big smoker also. I don't know if she still does.
Yeah.
People didn't want to do kissing scenes with her because her breath stunk too bad.
Because she smoked so many cigarettes.
And that's been said by two or three different actors
that
had to have a thing with her.
I don't care what her breath smells
like. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, she's
I don't
always
care what her breath smells like.
She's always been my hall pass.
Yeah, I would have gave her a smooch.
Chip responds, "Yeah, he's all poo-poo jokes. You don't have to worry. You don't have to work blue to be funny." Hank's like, "Amen to that." Then Bobby finally responds, "Dad, I'm starting to get a ventriloquist tan." And I guess he's talking about his arm hanging out of the golf cart. "No one likes a whiner, Bobby. Right, Chip?" And just pats Chip on the head. And then he has to reach across Bobby to pat Chip on the head.
It's got to give Bobby a complex by now.
Bobby's
got to be cognizant of what's going on by now.
So now we're back at Garrity and Sons Nursing Home. Bobby is going into Mr. Popper's room. He says, "Mr. Popper?" And he doesn't see anybody, and there's a cufflink on the floor.
Yeah.
He bends over to pick it up, and then Popper pops out from behind the curtains and goes, "Caught you in the act." "Oh, it's you, kid. I thought it was that thieving nurse. Come back for the other cufflink." Bobby says, I hope I'm not disturbing you, sir. And then Chip's voice, he goes, he was disturbed before you got here, which is actually pretty good.
That is good.
it's Mr. Popper doing that.
Yeah.
Talking about himself. He goes, sorry, old habits. So how is that crazy wooden bastard? Bobby says, great. Everybody loves Chip. It's just, well, when you and Chip were partners, did you ever get the feeling that the audience liked him better than you? He goes, of course. Chip was a star. He got paid better, too. And then there's a big pregnant pause. He goes, that's a joke for my act. Bobby goes, that didn't make you crazy. Popper says, of course it did. I wanted to be known for more than just Chip Block. At one point, I even shelved him and went on the road solo. I did sound effects. I was the first guy to do windshield wipers.
Foley artist.
Yeah, but he just makes windshield wipers.
You know, that's one of the most interesting parts of Hollywood to me.
Oh, yeah, the Foley stuff.
Is the Foley stuff, because why can't you do, like, why can't the real sound being made and you just record the real sounds being made?
Some of it is not.
But it just doesn't, it doesn't work out the same.
Yeah.
From what I was reading about, and they had shown like a side-by-side clip, for, I can't remember what movie it was, of what it would sound like without
real
the Foley artist.
The other stuff.
And it's just you can hear it, but it's not like,
it's just weird. It's
like
not
a knock on a door with a Foley artist knocking on the door, and then
it's
they
a bigger
put,
deal.
It just sounds so, like an actual door knock instead of some muffled stuff from the other side of the room.
That's because they've done it for so long. That's what you're used to hearing. Also,
that's
part of
like
it.
They, like I was going back
and
kind of looking
at the tin that used to make the thunder sounds.
They've been doing Foley artists since the beginning of movies with speaking and sound.
That's one of those things that's probably threatened a lot by AI, because it's going to be a time when you can just type in whatever sound you want and it'll pop it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so where were we? He goes, of course it did. I wanted to be more known for more than Chip Block. I just got to do windshield wipers. He goes, a few weeks later, the audience stopped coming. After my second cry for help, I decided it was better to be on the edge of the spotlight than not be there at all. Second cry for help. I wonder what his first cry for help was.
I don't know, probably stuffing his
just
hand up a
the dummy?
Ass. Yeah, maybe the dummy was the cry for help. And it just happened to work.
Bobby says, yeah, I hear you. It's almost 4 o'clock. I'll let you get ready for dinner. The guy goes back behind the curtain, and he goes, do me a favor, will you? Tell that nurse you couldn't find me. And then from behind the curtain, he goes, I'm going to get that thieving slut. Jesus, pretty rough,
wow.
Mr. Popper.
Yeah, that ventriloquism to me is like one of those ones that, like you said, you've got to practice a lot to be the top of your field. But I feel like a ventriloquist has to practice doubly hard to be famous, because
it drive you nuts.
You just can't think of like I could think of 40 comics like comedians off the top of my head right now. I probably could sit here and name 50 if I tried.
Sure.
But I can't name 5 ventriloquists.
Yeah,
it just
like
seems
you
like
say,
a really
it's
hard.
It's those 3 that you named. That was about it.
That was about it. You got to be like
you see a lot
really
of them.
Funny and really good at it.
When
I feel like to get popular.
When I used to watch it, you would see them every once in a while on like America's Got Talent or something.
There was
like
a young
that,
girl
you know?
That was on.
Oh yeah, I remember
one
that.
Of them.
Yeah.
And she
was
damn
great.
Good,
yeah,
phenomenal,
she was
and she was really funny too.
Yeah.
So I hope she is making a career out
she
of
got
it.
Eaten.
I imagine she is.
She got eaten by one of her
ventriloquist dummies.
Yeah.
Tough way to go.
She got termites. She got termites and took her down.
She got terminated.
So now we're in the backyard. Hank is working on a lawn chair. So I don't know what he's doing to this damn lawn chair, but he's got to go to the hardware store to do it.
I don't know.
Bobby comes up. He goes, Bobby, I'm heading over to the hardware store. I bet the guy's there to get a kick out of Chip's Jimmy Johnson varnishing his hair routine. Which, if you don't know anything about Jimmy Johnson, he had like hair that
shellac.
Looked like it was shellacked or hairsprayed real hard. And Bobby says, well, the show must go on. Bobby's room, he goes inside and goes into his room, and it's in shambles. Like, there's just stuff everywhere. The window is wide open. The box that Chip goes into is empty. He's gone.
Gone.
He runs back out and goes, Dad, Chip is gone. He goes, is this part of your act? I don't get it. He goes, no, I don't know where he is, but there were signs of a struggle. He goes, now think, retrace your steps. And then you hear this from next door, and we see Chip hogtied to a piece of wood and Dale forcing it down a wood chipper.
And our last artifact is that this is reminiscent of the scene in the 1996 movie Fargo.
Yeah.
Where they throw old boy into the wood chipper, yeah.
Yeah, Fargo's a wonderful movie, by the way.
Never seen it.
And that is our second commercial break. We'll take that, and we'll be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective, is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Tony, and some call me Big T.
And I'm Carrie, and we have some exciting news. We have a podcast.
Absolutely, it's called My Husband is a Hunka Hunka Burning Love.
No.
And we'll be discussing some different sex positions overweight couples can easily perform, correct?
I don't think so. It's called I Married an Idiot.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We'll try to stay on task, focus. Did you take your Adderall today?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Are you insinuating something?
Never mind. You may be wondering why we're doing this. We have been together for 36 years.
36 short, long
years.
Freaking years. But we must be doing something right, right?
Well, we must be. But this is where the fun starts.
And you know me, I love having fun. Fun is the best thing to have.
Yes, it is. On our show, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of topics. And I'll give you my opinion, and you'll give your opinion. So please, do not embarrass me.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I told you 1,000 times, but you also need to learn to get some thicker skin if you're going to be doing this.
No.
And don't take everything so damn personal.
No, but you get personal.
Anyway, it's up to you, not you, Carrie, but the podcastee listeners.
The audience.
The audience to decide which one of us is the idiot.
It's going to be pretty obvious, trust me.
Absolutely, totally obvious. Was that a shot?
Of course not.
Okay, good. Just checking. So, you know, everybody has an opinion. It's like my daddy always said.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, it's true. An opinion is like an ass. Everyone has one, and some are bigger than others, or it went something like that.
Stop. Would you be nice? See what I mean? Tell them where we can be found.
Anywhere you get your podcast or roguemedianetwork.com. Just look up I Married an Idiot. Sit back, relax, and give us a try. I promise you it'll be entertaining. And if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email. Well, I don't seem to have the email at the moment. This is not good. I don't seem to have that at the moment, but we'll let you know, so stay tuned, and I promise you we'll let you know.
Sorry. Really?
Well.
But yes, eventually we'd love to hear your feedback. You can give us suggestions on what topic to cover, comment on our show or an episode, or just drop us a line to say hello.
Just remember, any negative feedback should be directed toward Carrie, and all positive feedback should go to me.
Wrong again.
Hey, babe, look, we got to go. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, just remember to tune in. It's going to be fun, and thanks for giving us a try.
Absolutely. Until next time, peace out. God dang.
I thought it went pretty good.
That went well, not...
I thought it went okay.
Why didn't you tell me the email? Do we even have an email?
You said you were getting the email.
I did not. When did I say that?
You're such an idiot.
Oh, the hell with it.
All right, and we are back.
We're back
with Dale putting Chip all the way through the wood chipper.
All the way through it, yeah. And you don't know anything about a wood chipper, it doesn't discriminate.
No.
Yeah.
It saws it all up, but then one thing that rolls out is one of Chip's eyeballs. It rolls out onto the dust.
And it's probably the only thing that's not wood is his eyeball. It's probably some type of enamel or porcelain or something.
And then Hank and Bobby are just standing there having to watch this thing. Hank says, Dale, are you nuts? He goes, you'll never put that creep back together. I mixed him in with 2 chairs and a toboggan. I mean, that's pretty funny. He goes, you're next. I'm kicking your ass through that thing. And Dale picks up his chloroform sock and says, you wouldn't hit an unconscious man, and then breathes deep and just falls
over.
Yeah,
chloroforms himself.
Just chloroforms himself.
Dale's crazy.
He is. He is insane.
It reminds me, when I think of chloroform and ether and all those things, it reminds me of, we've talked about this before. We mentioned ether on an episode before. It reminds me of... Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where they're outside the casino and they huff a bunch of ether and they're just walking through all kinds of crazy.
So he says, you wouldn't hit an unconscious man, breathes deep, and just falls over. Hank kind of kicks him out of the way, and he picks up this A that's come off of Chip's letter jacket. You know, he's holding that. He goes, oh, I think I'm going to be sick. Bobby says, you know what? Maybe it's for the best, because Bobby's like, okay, thank God. This got me out of having to be this damn dummy the whole time. Hank says, maybe you're right. What do we really need for Chip for anyway? And Bobby thinking, oh, good. You know, Dad's coming around here. He says, now you're talking, Dad. He goes, yep. Think about it. If we build a new Chip, we could make him perfect. Don't get me wrong. Chip was great, but his neck really wasn't thick enough to play football, at least not competitively. And if his ears didn't stick out so much, he could wear a helmet. I'll be at my workbench cobbling together something I can be proud of. And then he just leaves, leaving a very, very sad-looking Bobby there.
Very sad-looking Bobby.
He thought he had his dad's attention.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like a highway to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And it just got destroyed. Like, it was an avenue for him to be able to communicate with his dad. And now he's like, oh, well, I'm going back to being just plain old Bobby Hill. Yeah.
Well, Bobby's not a big sports fan anyway, and he really tried on this.
And he did try. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
All
he tried
the
real
facts
hard on
and
this,
knowledge
yeah.
that he knew.
Reading a golf
it wasn't
book.
The puppet that knew all that crap. It was stuff that he knew.
So now we're in Hank's garage. Bobby rides up on his bike, and he goes, Bobby, catch. And he has the dummy arm that he's been working on throw one of those small little rubber footballs.
Yeah. He's trying to Lego or build him a dummy.
So it falls at Bobby's feet. Bobby picks it up. He goes, spring-loaded arm needs a little tightening, but the new Chip will finally be able to throw a football. Bobby, going along with this, he's just like, you know, Dad, I could just use my sock and a magic marker. Up on the wall, you've got a picture of, or you've got a blueprint of Chip.
Yeah.
You got a picture of Troy Aikman. You've got a picture of Roger Staubach.
You got Roger the Dodger Staubach.
And then the last photo, which I thought was kind of cool, it's the Flying Hawaiian over there in the last photo hanging on the wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
It's kind of cool.
I didn't notice that. I noticed the other two, but I didn't notice it. I didn't know who that was.
He doesn't refer to it.
You mean the wrestler, right?
Very, no. The kid from the show. Remember when he was playing football for
Arlen?
Oh,
yeah.
It's that kid.
That kid.
It's the Flying Hawaiian.
The Flying Hawaiian. Yeah. He had the really long last name. I can't remember.
Yeah. Ima Namba Lamba Kopa.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool. He goes, Sock never had an arm like this. And he points to a picture of Staubach. And he goes, her legs that could scramble like Roger the Dodger Staubach's. And I bet that Sock didn't have Troy Aikman's jawline. And Bobby's just like, okay. All right. He goes, it'll be fun, Bobby. It's kind of like I'm building you a big brother. No, Hank, it's not like you're building
really
him
not.
A big brother.
No, not at all. That's creepy to even say.
Bobby.
Like, you know, as much hell as Hank Hill gives Bobby for being weird, this is really weird.
Oh, it is. It's super weird.
This is different.
Yeah,
different
super
for
weird.
Sure.
Bobby's just like, yeah, just walks off sad. And then Hank says, okay, let's see here. Bobby throws the football back at Hank's feet. He goes, sorry, Bobby, I can't tighten that arm. And talking about Bobby's arm. Like, he's like, I can't tighten Bobby's arm, which is just a rough way to talk about your kid. Bobby leaves on his bike. Now we're in the Hill kitchen. Hank comes in with a jersey. Peggy and Bobby are already sitting there. Bobby's reading the paper. And he goes, Dad, this Yahoo thinks the Rangers are philosophically a National League team. Yahoo. And then Peggy sets down some drinks. Hank says, yeah, that's fine. Peggy, what gets out 32-year-old blood? Club soda, right?
Like, yeah,
he's
club
holding up
soda.
That jersey, you know. Bobby says, I'm going to go watch the Rangers philosophically kick the Yankees' butts. Peggy, realizing that Bobby's looking for more here, she's like, oh, I'll watch the game. Anybody else in? Hank says, oh, not me. I got to spiff up my old Pop Warner jersey for chip number two. And then it kind of pans to Peggy, and Peggy's like, ah, shit. Here's that thing again. Yeah. All right, so now Hank is in the garage working. Peggy comes out, and he goes, Peggy, you know the hair we always find in the drain? You don't just throw that out, do you? Wait a minute. Bill has his big bag of hair at house.
That's nasty.
Bill's got a big bag of hair. Peggy says, Hank, your son is outside throwing a football in the air and trying his damnedest to catch it, which I think that's a fantastic line. She goes, maybe he'd get a few less bruises if you spent some time with him. Hank says, well, that's why I'm trying to finish the new chip ASAP so we can start spending more time with Bobby again. That is some weird logic, Hank.
He says so we can start spending time. That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy talk.
Peggy says, all right, then. I'll just let you play with your doll. And, you know, if there's any lumber left over, you might want to use it to build a wife you've always wanted to. And, I mean, because that – and to be honest with you, this is one of those times when Hank deserved what Peggy said.
Yeah,
because he really did.
Well, because I don't think he really was very introspective about the situation. No, I don't think he really looked and seen what the effect and everything was and what he was doing.
He's got his son right in front of him, and he can't read what's going on.
And I feel like again, that's just his defense mechanism.
Oh, sure.
He loved being with Bobby, and he loved that, but he it's so hard. He's so repressed that he can't just be with his son. He's so repressed. It's such a crazy situation.
He's also got that sports gene, you know, and that thing's hard to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
She says you might want to build yourself a wife. Hank hears about he understands now, starts thinking about it. He hears Bobby outside talking and banging on the trash cans. You hear Bobby out there going, and Stallback goes back for the throw. He's in the pocket. And then you hear Bobby scream. And then you see Peggy on the other side of the door. She's listening to what's happening. You hear the table saw start up again, and she's just like, oh, shit, I didn't get through to him. You know, because he just started the table saw again and left Bobby alone.
Yep.
Now, Bobby comes into the garage with a uniform on. This is at night. Hank is still working. He goes, Dad, I got Mr. Dotrieve's old Pop Warner jersey, you know, for the act. Me and Chip 2. I mean, Chip 2 and me. You got to give the star top billing. And Hank says, yeah, but I think in this case you'll agree both stars deserve top billing. And he moves out of the way, and Hank has built a mannequin that looks just like Bobby. So he's built him a ventriloquist dummy that looks exactly like Bobby out of wood. Bobby says, it looks just like me. It's even got my hair cut. Hank says, yeah, I still got a few more holes to drill along the scalp, you know, to even out the hairline. Bobby says, hey, these are my short pants from when I was 3. He goes, yeah, I found them in my rag bag. He goes, I don't know, Dad. Short pants don't really belong on the football field. Hank says, that's okay. You don't either.
That's terrible.
And then Bobby starts making the dummy talk, or the little Bobby talk, and he goes, isn't Iron Chef on? And Bobby says, yeah, let's go watch Iron Chef. And then Hank says, you know, the Rangers are playing the Yankees right now. Iron Chef, Iron Chef. And then Bobby kicks in, Iron Chef, Iron Chef. Sorry, Dad, it's 2-1. He goes, yeah, I guess you're right. And then he goes inside singing Froggy Went A-Courtin' again. And so Bobby's super happy. You see Peggy, she's super happy. She comes out to Hank, and she goes, and Hank says, look, Peggy, look at me with my 2 sons. And then you hear Bobby singing his Froggy Went A-Courtin'. And that takes us to the credits.
It takes us all the way to the
Now,
credit.
We have an extra little scene
there is a
during the credits.
Credit. And they do this more frequently. Okay, so season 5 and season 6, you have a real a different dynamic in the studio. Greg Daniels and Mike Judge have kind of backed away from the show a little bit. They're not as involved at this time.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of Harvard writers, and this is a quote. Let me find this quote real
fast.
When you think about
Harvard writers, though, I think about National Lampoon. So that's where a lot of these guys came from, like Conan O'Brien. That's where he came from.
Yeah,
he came from Harvard.
The quote, the quote by Mike Judge was that season 5 and season 6, they're less involved. Weinman, which is a Canadian magazine writer, wrote the style of the show in those seasons was pretty similar to the style of the first few seasons, but a little broader and a little wilder.
Yeah.
Adding, there was some difference of opinion as to how well this approach was working. Well, Judge has been pretty clear in a lot of different interviews that he thought the show was going wrong in season 5 and 6 and making too much fun of Hank. And then he said, this is quote unquote, it reflected the obsessions of the Harvard educated writers who were running it. So he wasn't really pleased with season 5 and season 6 in that way. But I don't know, 2000, 2001, 2002, isn't that the time that movie came out that he was doing? Insomnia, that's not what it's called. What's the movie called? Idiocracy. That's around that time that he was probably doing that
movie, right? I don't
remember.
I know that Office Space came out first, and then Idiocracy, and then
Office Space came out before King of the Hill, though. It came out in 99, so it was like the beginning. Yeah. And then Idiocracy came out in 06.
Okay.
So that was after. I don't know what he was doing around this time. Maybe they were developing stuff or something, but... Yeah, so that's why these two seasons are kind of weirder.
Is this a time when Beavis and Butthead were still on?
Maybe the maybe they're because they revived a couple times.
Maybe they were wrapping it up or redoing it something.
Yeah.
But while you're looking at that, we go down into Dale's basement. He's on the computer. It's dark in there. It's just like a green screen almost. He goes, "Dear Octavio, it's come to my he's typing this in. It's come to my attention that a man claiming to be Dale Gribble recently fired you." Then you hear an alarm in this, and in his voice on the alarm, it says "perimeter breach." He looks at the cameras. He goes, "Perimeter breach." He looks straight into the camera, and he clicks over to the next one. Because he sees Bobby's got that stupid dummy right there in front of the camera. And then it goes outside to Bobby and Hank standing there holding the thing up, and Hank goes, "You're right, Bobby. Ventriloquism is fun." Yeah, and then after the credits, you just hear, wee-ee, so you get Popper doing his windshield wipers again. And that is it. That is season five, episode 12. Now, who's the dummy?
Who is the dummy?
All right, just a couple of things. A little bit of housekeeping here.
All righty.
Number one, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but if you watch us on Spotify or you listen to us on Spotify, you can now watch the video on Spotify. So we are, we'll be on YouTube on the King of the Hill page or channel, and then also on Spotify video, which is pretty amazing. So just the Mondays will be video. Fridays will continue.
So you'll be able to get them on YouTube, and you'll be able to get them on Spotify as well, so you could get our video in both places.
Fridays will just continue to be That Ain't Right Fridays, and it'll be audio because we do a little bit different. Plus, we do it without our pants on Fridays.
Just a couple of Joe Rogan-esque folks here getting our videos
you got
on. On the number one podcasting platform.
Also, make sure that if you get a chance and you are able, please check out our Patreon. Try to help us out a little bit. It does cost money to make the show, and we want to keep doing it and bringing it to you. Speaking of that, we are very grateful to have all of you. Thank you very much for being here.
We appreciate it.
You've ridden with us now for almost five whole seasons, you've changed not only what it is Rusty and I do, but you've changed what this network does by helping support us. And we really, really appreciate anything you can do. And we appreciate all the folks who have supported us in the past and continue to support us. Jordan, we're looking at you. Okay, so also make sure you go check out Swimmer's Ear, our Adult Swim Swam podcast.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, we'll do one of those today. I think that's it. I think that's all I had. Swimmer's Ear, Patreon, and the Spotify video. What you got?
And you can find us at bwaah.com, bwaaakoth.com. You can also send us an email at bwaaakoth@gmail.com.
I need to know, is there any interest in people having these, you think? All my notes that I make?
I think.
Because I've got every one of them.
I think there's a slight interest for it.
Y'all let us know. If you want these notes, I'm happy to put these like on a Patreon or something like that. I just got to figure out how to scan them all at one time. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again next time for Season 5, Episode 13.
Bwaah. Wimitanye.
No, there it is.
There you go.
Wimitanye.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.